Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I talk with Amy Crawford. She is vice president and supervising producer at New York City-based Man Made Music. Amy and I discuss the new music she and her team created for NPR's Morning Edition. Amy, herself a talented vocalist and keyboardist who has toured internationally, takes us into the studio to discuss how Man Made Music collaborates with clients from soup to nuts to create a new sonic brand that will take them into the future. Here's my chat with Amy. Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thanks, Paige, for having me.
All right. So we're going to talk about how Man Made Music did a theme for NPR Morning Edition. So why don't we start with just how did Man Made first get started with NPR? What was that relationship when they came to you to do this new theme?
NPR came to us, and in general, this is an interesting time overall, I think particularly for brands that have always lived kind of in an audio-first world, NPR obviously being sort of one of the biggest and most prestigious of those. So we were thrilled when they gave us a call. You know, they were really interested in looking at how they could sort of freshen up the sound of their broadcasts, of some of their shows. And think about how overall the brand could perhaps be leveraging music and sound to sort of drive more brand credit, attribution, emotionally connect with its listeners even more than they already do. You know, obviously NPR has a very loyal and dedicated fan base. So it was something that we were really excited to work on overall for them.
So have you guys done other work for NPR?
Yes, actually. We also worked simultaneous to the Morning Edition theme and that sort of theme package for that show. We also worked on a strategy and created a sonic identity for the NPR brand, which has been sort of soft launched. That work is showing up in their NPR One app, in their sort of Echo Show application, as well as some broadcast and podcast content.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit more as we go forward.
Sure.
I had a question about it anyway.
Cool.
Okay, so when they came to you to do Morning Edition, I have to say, so I'm a very long time NPR listener, and the Morning Edition theme song is very familiar to me and
awesome.
To my husband. And the reason I knew this happened is because my husband said, hey, did you hear they changed the theme song? And I think when you're a long time listener to something, no matter what the change they change it to, it feels, I don't know, jarring to you. Change
of course.
Difficult, Amy.
Yeah.
But what was the, when they came to you, what was the brief for this project and why was it something they felt was important to do?
I think that over time, NPR has really evolved as a brand and looking at this music and how they could sort of freshly reinterpret this theme that, as you said, has many decades of equity, a lot of recognition among its audience. You know, NPR wanted to sort of understand and explore ways that we could evolve that identity for the show and that theme and that thematic melody to sort of better convey the values of the show, sort of the emotional way that they wanted to be connecting with their audience and better represent Morning Edition as a brand in terms of how it's evolved to in 2019. There were certain things that we really wanted to look at when we were thinking about, okay, well, what is that emotional story that we want to tell in terms of evolving that music for the brand? We really landed on sort of three pillars that we were thinking about when we were creating the music. We asked ourselves, okay, does this way that we are reinterpreting the theme, does this convey the level of trust and authority that NPR as a news brand and Morning Edition in particular really carries with its audience and sort of the recognition it receives for its excellence in reporting? You know, really thinking about sort of that morning time experience and the fact that, you know, this sound kind of is the start to listeners' day. We're part of sort of very intimate moments of people's mornings. And what's the right soundtrack to score that experience on a daily basis? And also just, you know, this huge love for NPR as a brand overall and the eclecticism of that brand, you know, as much as NPR is known and globally recognized for its sort of authority in reporting and news, you know, there's also a unique way that they do this that's different from other sort of mainstream large news organizations. So how do we really bring that sort of unique NPR flavor to the sound? And, you know, for us, that was a little bit about tapping into some eclecticism in terms of the choice of instrumentation and sort of the overall creative angle so that this wouldn't just feel like another, you know, mainstream news organization or really kind of just play into those typical musical tropes.
So do you have any examples of how you take that ask, which is sort of a theoretical kind of ask, and mm-hmm. translate it into actual music? Like when they say we're looking for X, Y, Z thematically, mm-hmm. what do you do in the music that you feel like delivers that answer to them?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because actually I feel like a lot of the people that we work with don't even necessarily know what those X, Y's, and Z's that they're asking for yeah. are. And they're just coming to us with a broader question of, you know, we want to change this. We don't know how. Can you help us figure out what that should be, what that should feel like, what that should sound like? You know, so with any of our clients, when we're beginning this process, whether it's creating something entirely from scratch or reinterpreting an existing theme, as we did here with Morning Edition, you know, we really try to sit down and drill into what's that emotional story that we're trying to tell, which led to sort of those three kind of pillars of trust, kind of mourning time, and eclecticism that drove a lot of our creative moving forward. We always want to make sure we ladder back to that with anything that we're doing. But we also sat with the broader team at NPR and listened to a lot of music and curated some ideas and thoughts and brought concepts to the table in terms of music and work that lives out in the world. And, you know, really use that to kind of spark a conversation about, you know, what types of textures and tones, you know, feel right for this particular show, what things can feel uniquely on par in terms of what Morning Edition should feel like as a show, and sort of what kind of directions or concepts maybe feel totally wrong. You know, and a lot of times we're not going in there trying to think that we're going to bring, you know, ideas that everything's going to be a home run. You know, we really try to come in with a really broad swath and kind of a broad palette of concepts, you know, knowing that some things are going to be, you know, too far afield. But it's great to even hear and talk with our clients about the things that they feel are off brand or that they don't like, because often that kind of gives us a better sense of the sandbox that we should be playing in from a musical standpoint. I think another question, which was a really big question here for this particular project, was how many liberties or what's the right way to interpret the Morning Edition theme? Are we looking for a very traditional reinterpretation, or are we looking for something that really kind of turns that recognized theme on its head? And, you know, when we got into the point where we were starting to create and demo out ideas and original concepts in terms of how we could do that reinterpretation, you know, we really wanted to come back to them with a range in terms of how far we wanted to, or how far we could flex that melody without sort of breaking it or reaching a point where we thought audiences weren't going to recognize that it was tipping its hat to it anymore. And I think that was also a really interesting part of the conversation, to sort of see through just being able to listen and react to things. You know, what felt right from both a sort of sonic and like audio production standpoint, as well as what felt right in terms of sort of the reimagination of the BJ Lederman theme.
You mentioned that you guys kind of came up with three things that you were identifying with the brand of NPR Morning Edition. So trust, mm-hmm. the fact that it's morning, and eclecticism, mm-hmm. which is a very hard word to say. Is that a sort of a standard practice you take with your clients when you're doing a project like this? Like, let's figure out sort of what your brand pillars are and then design music around that?
Yeah, it's a great... Yeah, I mean, I think that for us, our process that we take is one that I think is really special, because it invites anyone, musical or non-musical, to be able to have an opinion, to be able to feel comfortable enough in a room, to sort of speak up and talk about how music is making them feel. You know, so we really try to hinge our conversations about music with our clients around emotion and emotional takeaways and sort of the story points that we want to be conveying in that music, more so than sticking to purely musical terms or getting caught up in specifics of instrumentation. You know, those things can definitely come up in our conversations organically with our clients, but we certainly don't require anybody to have a deep musical background to be able to feel like they could work with man-made music mm-hmm. or our team. So, you know, again, it's not a, this is the part of our process that's not highly scientific necessarily, but as we're listening to music throughout the process, and as we continue to refine things, we always want to be able to come back to sort of our original creative brief, and ask ourselves, okay, do we still feel, you know, these concepts? Do we still feel these emotions? And are we finding the right intersection in terms of like the tensions that you can pull out, you know, between sort of these terms as well? And I think that that is often sort of like the really unique places that we can sort of discover really the sort of those special moments in that music, or sort of we hone in on that sound that really does become proprietary or completely unique to that brand, you know, is finding and discovering sort of within the tensions of these concepts, where's that right place for the brand, you know, to live as it relates to how they sound.
So, all right. So let's dig into sort of the logistics of taking all those sort of theoretical, those ideas and putting them into actual practice. So first of all, so you've established these brand pillars. Mm-hmm. Do you start next with composing music, or what are sort of the next steps?
So the next steps, we typically hold what we call a sonic mood board session, which is kind of what I alluded to earlier, where we will pull lots of music and kind of bits and moments from culture in general or at large, and bring these things to the table and sort of sit and listen and sort through things, and talk with our clients about, you know, nothing that we've pulled here is exactly the right solution for you, of course, but, you know, what can we be inspired by, you know, from like a audio perspective, from a sonic perspective, from sort of a musical sensibility perspective. You know, that's just a huge jumping off point. And like I said, things that don't work are just as helpful to kind of learn about, or things that aren't resonating or feeling like, does this feel like NPR? Does this feel like Morning Edition? Is just as important as like sort of hearing things that say, oh yes, there's something about the way that authority is conveyed in this kind of musical approach that feels right for us. But, you know, it's missing that sense of eclecticism that we're looking for. You know, those are the types of comments that we're able to kind of take and digest, and kind of refine, you know, what we think we should do from a composition and music creation standpoint. Once we have that conversation, you know, we and our producers and our creative team kind of go back, and then we sort of start developing ideas and demoing out, you know, various ways that we can kind of solve for this creative challenge in terms of what are ways that we can rearrange that theme sort of based on this input, the conversations, the creative brief that we've established together with the client. You know, and as I mentioned, part of that too in this particular case was, you know, coming back with a range of ways that we could reinterpret that theme to figure out what was the right level of homage versus straight reinterpretation that really felt right for the NPR team in terms of what was going to carry them into the future. So we'll spend a few weeks developing sort of those original concepts and create demos of that work, you know, which then we will bring back to our client, have a review, listen. Again, we're still trying to listen always through that lens of that emotional brief that we establish at the beginning of the process, because ultimately that's what we're trying to deliver on more than, you know, people's personal musical preferences. We try to kind of take that out of it as much as possible. And, you know, through that process, we just slowly narrowed down, you know, a field of maybe 8 to 10 options that we had provided, and slowly kind of honed in on one. And over many weeks, you know, that particular direction that ended up becoming the final product that you now hear on air, you know, really went through a lot of evolution. We did a lot of live instrumentation and tracking along the way, in terms of sort of bringing the music more and more to life as we were sort of developing it. There was a lot of rewriting that we did. There was a lot of sort of reconcepting in terms of thinking about the overall arc of the beginning of the show. And then there were also other deliverables that we had to demo out too. Once we kind of honed in on overall, this was the direction that the brand wanted to go for Morning Edition. Then we also had other sort of musical moments that we also needed to score within the show so that they had a full package, of materials that they could use every day.
Let's back up for 1 second. Mm-hmm. So then do you guys have in-house composers that are putting together these different iterations, or who is actually writing that music?
So everybody on our creative team is very musical. We're all composers ourselves, music producers. We work in the studio. We're all instrumentalists. We also work with a number of freelance composers as well, that have been sort of part of the Man-Made family for a very long time. So we have sort of our awesome little team that just kind of works on these projects as they come up.
And then, so once you've decided basically on the theme that you're going for, how are you bringing together an orchestra, or how are you putting that music actually together, like actually creating the music that you're going to deliver to the client?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when we reached the point that we had all of our music sort of demoed out and we had our concepts, you know, finished and refined, there's two things that we did. First is that we actually then put that work into research. Backing our work with research is something that's really important to us at Manmade, and is something that we really wanted to do, particularly for NPR and for Morning Edition, because, you know, making the shift in the music in terms of the sound of the show is, you know, is obviously a very big deal. You know, you talk about the familiarity and sort of the fan base around the show. So we worked with NPR to research this music with a study that involved a lot of their sort of own audience members to make sure that what we had created was truly kind of laddering back to the values and the creative brief.
Sort of like a focus group, meaning that you're playing it to some people and seeing, getting their feedback on it?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of music research is done that way, which is sort of on the conscious level of, you know, you play a piece of music and then you ask your focus group, do you like that or not? And, you know, Manmade over the last couple of years has partnered with Sentient Decision Science, which is a research company that we've developed a great relationship with and have developed a way to sort of measure the effects of music and sound on a subconscious level with our audiences, which is more about asking someone if the experience itself is something that you as an audience member would come back to again in the future, more so than did you like this music. It's almost kind of asking questions around the music as opposed to asking questions directly about it.
Like, what experience did this music create for you?
Yes, or, you know, and we've had research that's shown that, you know, there's a very strong correlation. I think it's 86% between the sounds and experience and an individual's desire to return to that experience again in the future. You know, and that's the type of data that we're able to drive by doing this sort of subconscious association and implicit association testing that we do, you know, on our projects.
So. Now I'm imagining people all connected to like lie detector tests, but I'm sure that's actually not how this goes.
No, that's not exactly how it goes, but yeah, so, but that, you know, that's a key part of what we do before we get into the final record, because again, I think we're really trying to make sure that, you know, the work that we've created has value, is going to be able to deliver on what the original goals were on the project. You know, and sometimes there are findings that come out of that research that'll influence some, you know, final changes that we'll make in the music. You know, sometimes even we can put multiple options if we're having a hard time deciding on a creative direction, put multiple options into research, and then we can get information that might dictate or provide some guidance around how we might want to evolve a particular piece, or, you know, kind of provide pros and cons for why, you know, a client might want to consider one particular creative direction over another. So it's very interesting kind of get those results back, like when we're in the middle of a creative process.
Yeah. Okay, so then let's go back to the actual production part of it. You're actually now in studio producing the music. Is it? Are there instruments in play? I saw a video where there was an orchestra, but I was wondering, or do you do it mostly digitally? How do you guys put the actual music together?
No, so live instrumentation, live players is hugely important to us here at Manmade Music. It's where the name of the company was inspired from. And, you know, we moved into the studio that we're in now currently in downtown New York in large part because we wanted to really double down on and expand our resources to do more live recording and really be a hub for musicians, music, New York City artists in particular, and really make sure that everything we were creating, you know, was coming to life in the appropriate way, you know, with live players, and really kind of honor that process of music making. So, yes, the musicians you saw in that video were truly recording and playing on the music that you now hear in the broadcast. We had a lot of people within the Manmade team played on that theme, myself included. I think everybody threw down on their instruments at one point or another. You know, we brought in a slide guitar player. We had a number of string players. As you saw there, we did a string session. There was also some brass that we brought in, like French horn section, some low brass as well. You know, there are a lot of players on that piece. You know, and I think what's really interesting about it sonically is that, you know, what we achieved with that music is sort of a hybrid of sort of more modern production concepts with the live instrumentation, in a way that I think feels, you know, really nicely blended. And it wasn't about overtly featuring kind of one production technique over the other, which I think speaks to sort of the eclecticism we were trying to evoke in terms of the Morning Edition feel.
Do you guys record that? Does the orchestra come to Man Made? Do you have studios there that can do it, or do you need to go out to a space?
No, we do it here. We have multiple live rooms. We're able to accommodate, you know, orchestral-sized records here on a pretty regular basis for a lot of our clients. So, yeah, we'll have our musicians come in here. We work with a lot of really incredible players that are part of some of the top, you know, orchestras and bands in New York City, and it's really an honor to be able to work with them and create opportunities for them to be able to, you know, be part of this work for our clients.
What did you play?
I played a few different keys parts and some piano on this piece.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So then you've got obviously a main theme that you're producing out of that. Mm-hmm. And then from there, how were there a lot of spinoffs or, you know, themes that sort of sounded like that theme that you're using maybe for different things? Just when you're mm-hmm. packaging this all together for them, how many different versions are there?
Yeah. So there was a pretty clear list of deliverables that we were able to pull from the show's team in terms of their music needs on a daily basis. So the opening music that you hear that we've been calling a theme technically is what they call a billboard, you know, which is the music that kind of runs underneath that day's headlines. So that was a core piece that we did. We did a secondary piece, which was even longer. I think it was at least 2 minutes, two to 2.5 minutes long, which is technically called the theme, but it plays later in the show. I'm not sure if that piece is heard on all of the local affiliate stations or not. I think that might be a moment where they're throwing to like local stations to give sort of local news, mm-hmm. but was part of the national broadcast package as well. There's also a return, which is where they come back, you know, sort of in the second half of the show, and there's a little bit of a recap. You know, they have sort of an emotional change there that they wanted to evoke that was a little bit more playful. We're a little bit later in the morning. We've kind of eased into everything. So we had a variation on the melody there as well that we created for that return. And then we had a lot of fun creating what we call bleebles, which were these sort of little audio interstitials that Morning Edition uses to transition between stories. And really thinking about, you know, how do we create in just a few seconds these like moments of emotional transformation? So if you're going from a really difficult story to something more lighthearted or vice versa, you know, how can music really kind of help cleanse your palate as a listener so that they're able to be able to report on these kind of emotionally wide-ranging stories without kind of causing, you know, sort of like this real emotional up and down? And what can we do to kind of smooth things out with music between sort of the different things that they're talking about? So we gave them a pretty deep package of like the sort of those shorter moments that did not necessarily all include the Morning Edition melody in them, but were inspired by sort of the musical palette that we had created for the show overall.
It's interesting because I do a lot of interviews with agencies who've created branding packages for mm-hmm. networks or whatever. And so they always have, you know, a logo and then maybe a brand look, but then they've got lower thirds and transitions in that whole package. So mm-hmm. it's interesting because I feel like this is analogous to that, except mm-hmm. for with sound.
Yeah.
And you don't think about it really, but it's a similar kind of thing. Like, here's a whole brand package we've created for you.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, for a lot of our clients that we work with in broadcast, you know, we're always thinking about, you know, how can we anticipate, you know, when we're creating a package of music for our clients, how can we anticipate sort of the stories that you're going to need to tell, you know, before they've even happened? And how can we kind of make sure that we're prepared from like an emotional perspective to provide, you know, enough range in the work so that, you know, on a particularly difficult news day, or on a more sort of lighthearted human interest mm-hmm. story, you know, we have the right music so that they're not kind of scrambling or feeling like we've missed something in terms of the emotional tones that they want to hit. You know, and I think also just to say, too, you know, you're talking about sort of all the, from a graphic perspective, all the different elements that go into, you know, sort of visual media and news on sort of visual broadcast. But I think particularly when we're thinking about an audio only medium, you know, like radio, like Morning Edition, you know, sort of we're creating the audio versions of the, sort of those cues yeah. that you're talking about. And that was kind of a really fun thing to work on with them.
Is this for weekday Morning Edition only, or did you also do a separate package for Weekend Edition?
We did not do a separate package for Weekend. This was only for the weekday Morning Edition show.
Yeah, I mean, Weekend definitely has a different feel.
Yeah, so. And it's an entirely different theme as well, so, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the sonic branding, which you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. I find sonic branding a very interesting craft because I feel like it's a thing that everybody encounters every day, all the time, and I don't think 95% of people give it a thought, mm-hmm. but they're affected, you know, they're impacted yeah. by it, even if they don't know. So yeah. when you were doing the sonic branding, what did you draw from to create it, and where is it living?
Cool. Yeah. So, in terms of what did we draw from to create it? We really went through a process that's very similar to sort of what I outlined for Morning Edition. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in addition to kind of going through a process of, you know, talking about what in music and culture, you know, feels on or off, or, you know, feels like it feeds into the NPR brand. You know, we also did sort of take a broader look at, you know, sort of the competitive landscape in terms of, you know, other brands playing in a similar space to NPR, and kind of looked, said two things. What are other brands doing, you know, with audio or with sound, just so there's a general awareness of where other brands are or are not sort of playing. And then also kind of what do those brands sound like, and, you know, what kind of opportunities exist for NPR to show up in a way that's going to feel unique and kind of stand out from the pack. You know, so aside from that, you know, we really went through a very similar process in terms of, you know, creating, and this time it was all original work because there was no original, there was no thematic to work off of. This was not an arrangement for the brand. This was wholly new work. You know, so we created a pretty wide grouping of demos, sort of different thematic ideas, different themes that could be considered sort of that brand theme, that brand anthem, and went through a similar process in terms of you know, creating that work, sharing it back with the team, you know, getting feedback, you know, around the table in terms of what was feeling on, what was feeling off in terms of that particular round of work. And then, you know, sort of going back to the drawing board and continuing to evolve. You know, I think particularly for the brand overall, you know, the wanting to create something that was sonically really unique. And I think when you think about NPR's reputation, particularly in sort of music and tastemaking, wanting to create something that felt really record credible and sonically interesting and compelling was really, really important. You know, and I think at the same time, too, you know, NPR as a brand has certainly kind of grown up over time. You know, and so we wanted to make sure that we still kind of brought that level of, I guess, seriousness or gravitas or just, you know, wanting to feel like this was an established brand. You know, that knows what they're doing, inspires confidence. That was another sort of flip side to that as well.
So this sonic branding though lives, you mentioned before on NPR One, mm-hmm. is it mostly sort of app related or because I'm not sure, mm-hmm. I feel like the sonic branding on the radio happens through the theme like you were describing mm-hmm. before. But so when you're talking about this sonic branding, mm-hmm. was it specifically for Morning Edition and does it basically only live on like the digital side of it, or where all is it living?
So the NPR sonic identity, I think if you were a listener, you're most likely going to be hearing what we call the sonic logo, which is that short form, you know, sort of audio expression of the brand, which right now is being used, you know, for some podcasts, being used, I think, to a degree in some broadcast. Is being used in the NPR One app, and also in the Amazon Echo show. It's showing up there as well, with the idea that this is a audio signature for NPR. So any of this content that they're producing, and as you're saying, you know, is releasing across sort of all these different digital mediums in particular, you know, the NPR wants to make sure that they're getting credit for those experiences, you know, and use this audio signature as a valuable tool in the right places where they want to make sure that the audience knows that they're hearing something that was created and produced by NPR.
When you're creating something like this, because all those platforms you just mentioned, how hard is it to gather up and make sure you've checked off all of those platforms?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for any client that we're working with, understanding that brand architecture is really important and something that we start thinking on about from the very beginning. Because it is a creative consideration that can sometimes influence the creative direction that the work takes. You know, we think a lot about, okay, what kind of speaker is this going to be playing out of? What kind of experience will this be in? If it's an app, you know, is there a certain file size or type we need to be aware of? Is this mono? Is this surround? There are all sorts of technical considerations that can sometimes influence the creative. So as much as we can, being able to sort of map out with any client, what are those key touch points? You know, where do we want to see this work living? Where could this work be living based on, you know, technologies that are starting to emerge? You know, we really want to be able to anticipate that. You know, and also a number of the folks on our creative team and our studio team, you know, really work to stay super up to date on, you know, a lot of these mediums, you know, audio delivery systems, you know, new products. We audit those products to understand and kind of get a sense of, you know, what's the right, you know, how do we need to master, you know, certain sounds that we're delivering for a client based on if it's going to live on a television versus an app. You know, so those are things that we really think about a lot so that we make sure and we test stuff out on all these mediums before we deliver anything final.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That sounds very, I'm just thinking about it in terms of like we do an email newsletter and it's a challenge because the email newsletter does not look the same on all email platforms and it's actually very difficult to monitor it across. So for this, like trying to quality control this whole Sonic brand across Alexa and podcasts and NPR One and people's phones sounds very challenging to me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. And like I said, I think, you know, we really work hard to be aware of sort of what the standards are in a lot of these devices. And, you know, I think one of the things that drives me nuts all the time, if you listen to TV through any sort of streaming application, I feel like sometimes the commercials are delivered at these like wildly hot volume levels. And I'm like jumping for the remote to turn stuff down, you know, and that's because I think somebody who was delivering that audio wasn't aware that there's a different spec for streaming platforms versus, you know, television broadcast. So, you know, we don't want to ever create an experience where, you know, the brands we're working for, you know, are making a negative impact on their listeners because the audio experience and the execution, you know, fails. You know, so that's hugely important to us. You know, at the very beginning of this conversation about Sonic branding, you said it's something that is everywhere, but people don't really notice. You know, and in a way, that's almost our goal. You know, is the sense that we never want to put sound or music into an experience in a way that's going to sort of distract from the experience itself. You know, we're really here to serve those experiences and serve those audiences. And, you know, we want people to come away and say, man, that app was amazing. Not that sound at the beginning of the app was really cool. You know, because in the end.
I think it's interesting because I think if you didn't have it, that's what people would notice. Mm-hmm. But I just think about brands and sounds and how you just assume they go together. I just don't think people put a ton of thought into it. But if that sound was not there.
Yeah.
They would realize that.
Yeah.
So,
that's really our litmus test is kind of, we like to look at experiences and say, okay, if we took the sound out of this moment in like in a flow or this moment in that customer journey or that experience on this platform, do you miss it? You know, is it conveying the right message? Yeah. Is it helping the user navigate through an interface better? You know, if the answer is yes, it should stay. But if the answer is no, we should just take it out because it doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all my questions. Anything else about this you want to say that I didn't give you a chance to talk about?
No, I think that's everything. You know, I'm looking at Chris. Did I miss anything, Chris? We good? Chris says we're good.
Okay.
So yeah, that's it. Hey, we love NPR. We love Morning Edition. We're longtime listeners ourselves. And, you know, it was really I mean, it's really been a big honor working with them, and, you know, change is hard, but change is good too. So,
yep. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Have an awesome day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Paige Albiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provided the music. Digital content producers Kate LeCaire-Marion and Kayla Marie Hardaway contribute to Daily Brief. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Promax_global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org. And please subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.